البغدادي. والله إننا قادمون.
This is an Islamic State recruiting video. Clutching a Kalashnikov is a 21-year-old blonde recruit, a Christian convert, Victor Christensen. Not long after appealing to fellow Danes to join the jihadis, Christensen blew himself up in a suicide attack in Iraq. He had severe learning difficulties, and his family believes this vulnerable young man was brainwashed at the Grimhøjvej Mosque in Aarhus, the second city. Of the 100 or so Danes who've gone to fight in Syria, at least 20 worshipped at Grimhøjvej. This is Abu Bilal, one of the mosque's preachers in Berlin last summer, calling for the extermination of the Jews. Every last one, he says. In a Danish documentary about the mosque, Abu Bilal insisted he was asking God to do the killing, not his flock. A majority of parliamentarians have asked the justice minister to consider closing the mosque because it's allegedly breached laws prohibiting the incitement of violence. Some also seek the expulsion of its chairman, Usama El Sadi, who's admitted supporting Islamic State. We had a brief conversation last year.
Are you encouraging people to go to for jihad or not?
No. We don't do it. We just try to talk to the people about the situation in the Middle East, about the dictators who kill their people. We try to help the people there with food and something like that.
At one of several rallies supporting Charlie Hebdo, Bjørn Elmqvist, a prominent lawyer who's defended Islamic radicals, called for free expression to remain absolute, but warned against closing the mosque.
This is a judicial issue. There must be proof, there must be documentation, there must be a trial, there must be contradiction, and we must be sure that there's sufficient evidence. To close a mosque is a very serious matter.
One person who knows the mosque is Morten Storm, a former radical Islamist who claims to have been a double agent for Danish security, MI6 and the CIA.
They are speaking with two tongues. One thing is that they will deny that they support jihad publicly because they know they'll be in trouble. Under the radar, behind closed doors, they will support jihad. I have been given money by one of the imams from the mosque when I used to be an agent. I was given 10,000 kroner for Somalia. So I do know that these people are supporting violent jihad.
The Grimhøjvej Mosque enrages these people, gathering by torchlight in the southern town of Haderslev and attempting to emulate the weekly Pegida rallies in Germany. About 50 followed Anders Grauers, the head of Stop the Islamization of Denmark, who refuses to cooperate with the Danish version of Pegida.
It's because their motto is they are against extreme Islam. Our groups are thinking the whole Islam is extreme.
Because
they believe the Quran, and if you read the Quran, you will see the whole Quran is extreme. It's a manual how to kill all unbelievers and make pain for them.
Fireworks were thrown as the right-wingers marched behind a Danish flag used by the resistance during the Nazi occupation.
They are incompatible to our system here in the West.
Michael Ellegaard is the leader of Free Denmark, whose members sometimes reportedly train with weapons.
They have shown that in several occasions they are living in ghettos in Denmark, in parallel societies for their own. They don't mix with Danish people. They eat special food, halal food. We cannot coexist with these people. There's too much difference between us.
The train is now arriving at the Copenhagen district of Nørrebro, variously labelled as cosmopolitan, hipsterish and a Muslim ghetto. Usma Andreasen is a community leader here and a founding member of a new party called Alternative.
If you have the extreme in one side, you get the extreme in the other side as well. And I see that more clearly now. But I also see that a lot of normal citizens as myself and normal Muslim citizens as myself, we are afraid of what's going to happen also because we're not the majority. The majority is still white, Christian, ethnic Danes. And if they are in fear and if they see us as Muslims as one big group, then that's going to bring changes that are not good for us as a democratic people.
After the Charlie Hebdo attack, a few newspapers published the French magazine's cartoons, but significantly, Ulens Posten, which commissioned the 12 Mohammed drawings, did not. Police have thwarted two potential attacks against the newspaper, and this weekend the editor admitted he no longer dared print depictions of the Prophet. Tom Jensen is the chief editor of another newspaper, Berlinske.
What happened during the Mohammed cartoon crisis has had some sort of result. I think that's part of what we have to realize is a long-term effect of these kind of threats, these kind of terror attacks. They have a long-term effect in our minds. And I think you see that in Danish media, you see that in media all over the world.
Self-censorship is a dangerous precedent, according to Jakob Machangema, the director of Justitia, a think tank that promotes free speech. Although Denmark's 500,000 Muslims have often felt marginalized, he says they have to accept the country's satirical traditions.
They should be subjected to the same scrutiny, satire, ridicule that any other creed and ideology, political philosophy is. I think that's actually a way of also empowering Muslims as equal citizens in Europe.
And what about the radicals who use Denmark's freedom of speech to denounce democracy and eulogize the Islamic State? Should they be expelled? Defense lawyer Björn Elmqvist.
In democracy, you must also allow anti-democrats to have their views and express their views. If we don't, we are as bad as they are, and democracy ought to be better.
While the chatter in classes debate free speech, the chatter on Twitter from accounts linked to Islamic State is that Scandinavia will be next to feel their wrath.